Today on VFN TV, we're going to be talking about, is there a war on police officers? Well, a new Rasmussen poll suggests, yes, there is, as many Americans feel that way. We're going to be talking about how police lives matter. Everyone's lives matter, and we want to make sure that we stand with our police officers, especially in the times in which we find ourselves. Join us in a few.
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, and areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years and practiced in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going
to
be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain. Arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos. I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. In a few minutes, Steve Kalishevsky will be joining me. We want to talk about on today's program, is there a war on police officers? If you've been watching this program just even recently, we've discussed what is happening when we see police officers being executed at a gas station, when we see them being killed and murdered sitting in their police cars. And so now with a new poll, according to Fox News, many Americans believe there's actually a war on police officers. In fact, the reports are 58% of Americans agree that there's a war on police officers. What has happened in our society now where we ever thought that we would see a day where police officers would now become targets? And I want to share with you a disturbing call that was received by the Aurora Police Department in Denver, in Colorado, where this is what they received in 911. According to Fox News, this is what the caller said. It is time that you guys know we are no longer playing around with police departments. Aurora and Denver, we are about to start striking fear, shooting down all cops that we see by themselves. This will go for sheriff's departments. You guys are evicting innocent people. Let us catch you by yourself and shots fired. I mean, this is what's happening right now as we speak. And it's important that we stay alert and that we stand with our police officers in our communities. They filter so much of criminal element that's happening all around us that we have no idea. As we've taken our children to sporting events, to different school activities, as we sleep at night in the comfort and the safety of our home, we're able to do that because men and women signed up for a job to serve and to protect. And I think a lot of times that gets missed in all of the dialogue and all the things that have happened and are happening. And some of these things are legitimate concerns. But how we address these concerns and how we deal with these issues makes all the difference. We must be a people of civility. We must be a people of dialogue. But we don't just murder and execute and say we have open season on all police officers. Can we begin to imagine a world? Can you imagine your city, your community, with no law enforcement? Well, I want you to watch right now Lydia Marquez. She is a 20-year veteran of the Miami-Dade Police Department. And her son asked her, she was getting ready for work one morning, why are you a police officer? And as she thought about that and meditated on that, she felt compelled to make a video and to answer that question from her heart. I don't think that we get a chance to really look into the hearts of those that serve us. And she begins to share why she became a police officer. And that video now has went viral with over 1 million views. I want you to listen and experience what she is sharing with you. We all need to get a glimpse of this reality because these are men and women that are putting themselves in the line every single day for us. Watch this.
Hi. As you can see, I am a police officer. I have been one for 20 years. I'm white. I'm Hispanic. I'm a female. I'm a mom of two, a four-year-old and a two-year-old. And this morning, my son asked me, when he saw me getting ready for work, "Mommy, you going to work?" And I said yes, and like a typical, you know, four-year-old, that glorious question of why. I looked at him and I thought about it. I just saw the news, how another officer was ambushed. I spent most of the night thinking about doing this video. And right then and there, I decided I was going to do it because it needs to be heard. I answered my son, my four-year-old, as my two-year-old was next to him looking up at me. And I told him, because mommy cares. Mommy cares. I care. When you fill out any official document for credit, a job, anything, it asks you what your ethnicity is. It asks you what your gender is. It asks you if you're black, if you're white, if you're Hispanic, if you're American Indian, if you're Asian. It asks you all those personal questions. Yet when you call 911, the person who answers the phone doesn't stop you and ask you any of those questions. No. They ask you, what's your emergency? How can we help you? And you tell them what the issue is, because if you call 911, it's because you need help. Be it that's fire that responds, be it that's us, be it that's both of us. You need help. Because if not, you wouldn't have dialed 911. And we get the call. Our dispatcher then gives us the call. We basically are told if we need to respond to lights and sirens or if we respond routine. And we're putting our lives out on the line here. Because we're going to you because you need us. Not knowing exactly what we're going into. And people don't understand that. We don't ask that dispatcher, hold on, wait, is this a black person who's calling? Is this a white person who's calling? That doesn't matter because we don't care. We don't care at all. It's not about color. It's not about any of that. It's about the fact that all lives matter. I have accommodations. I have pins. I have all those glorious things. And they're all in a closet in the bottom. In a box, collecting dust. Because I don't want any of that pinned on me. I don't want any of my accommodations pins. I don't want any of that. The only thing I want pinned on me is my badge. Because when I received my badge, I swore an oath. I swore that I was going to protect and serve all people. Not blacks, not whites. None of that. The oath is colorblind. It doesn't care about all that. And all of us that have these badges don't care about all that either. Yeah, we all have our bad apples. Who doesn't? And people forget that. When you're running away from something because you're in fear for your life, we're running into it. When I kiss my children in the morning before I go to work and tell them I love them, I don't know if I'm going to be coming back at the end of the day. I don't know, especially nowadays. And it's hard. It's really hard. But I'm here. Why? Because I care. All lives matter. Everyone's life matters.
Wow. That was riveting. She shares a real heartfelt feeling. She is a police officer. Why? Because she wants to protect. And when many people are calling 911 in their point of emergency, that's the thing about an emergency, that's the thing about an accident. A lot of times you don't know, you don't have warning, you don't even know that you're going to be a victim. You don't know that something's going to happen in your home, in your place of business. You weren't expecting those things. You were just driving down the road and all of a sudden something happened and you called for help. And you're expecting that when you call for help, 911, someone is going to come. And they do come. And they do help. Not knowing what they're going to be facing, if they're being set up, but they come in because you are in danger. And I think that we need to be sober-minded about everything that we're seeing all across our screens today and really get a glimpse of who are these people that are serving us every day. And how we can begin to start appreciating them. I just heard of a story of a young man who gets behind a female police officer. And I forgot what part of the country this was. And he says, ma'am, I'd like to stand behind you because I want to make sure that nothing happens to you. I think that it's time that we become very supportive of the ones that are filtering so many of the things that we're facing. And many, many people do. I want you to see a report from CBS 4 in Miami-Dade, as they highlight what happened with this police officer, and they begin to share what is happening in South Florida with police officers and their police cars. Watch this.
Thank you so very much for everyone's support. It's been phenomenal.
Friday afternoon, we met the woman behind the Facebook post.
I spoke for those of us who couldn't, and I'm proud of that.
Marquez said it took her days and lots of courage to say what she did, but she realized that even if other officers couldn't speak their minds, she had to. And her comments came just hours before someone smashed a window in a Miami-Dade police car outside the officer's home in Miami Springs. Earlier this year, someone torched two South Florida police cars in front of their homes, and someone shot up two other police cars.
The fact that we're going back and that we're targeted, because we are being targeted. You don't just go into a block and go eeny, meeny, miny, moe and pick the police car to break into it. With everything that's been happening, it has grown so much that I'm amazed how most of us officers are even coming in.
Did you hear that? She's amazed. With everything that's going on, she is amazed that most officers are still coming in. This is something we need to think about. Is this something that we want to see in our community? Well, it's not happening in my community right now. Not yet. But what happened if there's a ripple effect, the momentum that begins? Listen, Rick Joyner talked about an evil that's been unleashed upon America. If we don't stand for law enforcement and those that are serving and protecting, our communities are going to suffer. It's time that we stand behind them. More we get right back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. My goodness, Steve, was that amazing?
Oh, yes.
Lydia Marquez, 20-year veteran of the Miami-Dade Police Department, and she said it, I think, so well, and I think she spoke for so many that have experienced what she's been experiencing. Mm-hmm. It must be very difficult and challenging knowing that you're leaving every single day your home, that, you know, you have a life, too. You have a family. You have children. You have parents to protect people. And if we're not careful, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the enemy loves to lie to all of us. But can you imagine the lies that, why am I doing this? And nobody cares. And I went into this profession to do a service, and because there are a few bad apples, I'm associated with them all. And that is true. I mean, there are clearly some injustices. There are clearly some bad apples in the bunch. You can't deny that. It's true. I've experienced it. However, it doesn't mean that everyone in law enforcement is not doing a good job. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that. That's just like in any profession, whether it's a doctor, teachers. Yeah, there's challenges. Yeah, there's some people that don't need to be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yes, there's some people that do not need to be doctors. Absolutely. Agreed. But the question is, how do we properly respond to these issues? And do we allow very serious issues that need to be addressed to be co-opted by a rebellious few that would want to take this to an extreme? There's a narrative being promulgated out there. Anything to destroy and pull down authority. And it really causes me to think about the word that Rick Joyner talked about, mm-hmm. about the bowels of hell being open, what he saw, over the United States, and evil going everywhere. You know, I think about Hurricane Katrina and watching, you know, they just had an anniversary, I think it was 10 years for Hurricane Katrina, and just to see on TV and to see and how in 4 days, Steve, four days, that city lost all civility. I remember watching on a TV screen and my heart breaking when I saw these children and these families that were running to the stadium. I believe it's the Superdome. The bathrooms were horrific. The people were hot. There was no AC. There was chaos and pandemonium. And there was very few police officers in the area. When there's crisis, evil people with bad intentions capitalize on that. And I think that we've been so naive for so long. Mm-hmm. You may think because you live in a nice community and nothing ever happens and you're not aware that there was a murder or a robbery in your area. You weren't aware that someone was raped down the street or in a subdivision nearby. You weren't aware of those things. And so we go and live our lives not understanding that there are some things that happen in our community that are horrific. But what happens if there's nobody there? What happens? Your community can change overnight. And so I think that, yes, there's a dialogue that has to take place. Yes, there's a conversation that needs to happen, definitely. But how we approach this and how we talk, and I'm talking to believers, that we need to, as Romans 13 says, all authority is established by God. And so how do we respond to these things? I think that one of the ways we can begin is to give honor where honor is due. And we definitely want to stand and be there for our law enforcement. I want to encourage you today to add law enforcement to your prayers. Maybe you may be compelled to do something nice and stop a person in law enforcement today and say, hey, I'm standing with you. I'm praying for you. Maybe visit your local sheriff's department or police department and bring them some cookies. Do something. But let them know that, hey, no matter what's being promulgated across television screens, no matter that narrative, there's people in their community that stands with them and is looking out for them. In fact, I heard of a report of a citizen coming to a police officer's defense and saying, no, that's not going to happen. It was somewhere in the country, and he was being beat up. He was being attacked. And another police officer saw this going down, and he jumped in there. I mean, another citizen saw a police officer being attacked, and he jumped in and was able to help the police officer. We need to do all that we can in the time that we have to do it, because we need them standing with us.
Absolutely.
And we want to stand with them.
Absolutely.
We want to stand with them. You know, as we transition, we see these things happening, Steve, and we think, well, you know, evil is ramping up. Things are happening with ISIS, the economy. And we can get so storm-driven that we totally miss that God is getting ready to do something amazing in our country. He's getting ready to do something amazing in this world. And we believe that a revival, a huge revival is upon us. Maybe even a third great awakening. Listen, our only hope in America and really for the world is Jesus Christ. And we're going to be talking about today's program, how in Cuba, Steve, they realized that when Russia and Cuba and all these things that they were trying to do together was falling apart, and they had nothing. Their economy, I think they make $20 to $30 a month. And they began to start crying out to God. They began to see God move in powerful and wondrous ways. When we get back from this break, we're going to begin to share with you some things that are happening in the United Kingdom with David's Tent. Young people that are coming all over the world for 3 days of 24 hours of worship and seeking the heart of God, the presence of God. It is beautiful. It is amazing. And I think that there's a cry. There's a cry in many people's lives that say, listen, there's got to be more. Yes, this evil is happening. Yes, this stuff is happening in our nation. Yes, I've never seen America in the state that it is today, but God. Listen, don't ever count God out, because God is not through with America and he's not through with you. Join us when we get back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Listen, I just had a chance to see this video. In fact, my wife brought it to my attention. Steve, David's Tent, an adventure in worship. I mean, who knew? You know, we've experienced some tent ministry before in the Next Step Out back in the Fathers and Camping Trip for many, many years. And this was exciting when I saw this, because it actually reminded me of what it was like for 10 years in this community. Greg spearheaded, I mean, the founder of this awesome, man, that's a movement, you know, in our community, because for 10 years we took fatherless sons and with their fathers out into the wilderness. It was a Malachi, you know, turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the children. And it was a prophecy in the midst. And so many relationships were restored, families were touched, and it was all about going in the wilderness and encountering God in the wilderness, away from the phones, away from the tablets and the iPads and all these electronical things that really cloud all of our noise and get us busy. And it was wonderful to see people over a weekend, you know, three-day period of time, encounter God in such powerful ways. And so when I saw this, I said, wow, that just reminds me. But I want you to see what is happening in England when worshipers from all over the world converge for 3 days, for 24 hours, Steve.
Amen.
24 hours of non-stop worship. Watch this.
David's Tent was this wild dream in the heart of a lover and worshiper of God.
They've set their tent up. They're here for 72 hours. They're here because they want to experience and encounter Jesus.
It is okay to come away for 3 days and just love on the one who saved us, who's set us free.
May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder.
We want to create a sacred assembly. We don't just want to create hype. We want our worship to be authentic.
Staring at the beauty of the King.
when we worship, just something changes in us. And we sometimes don't even know what it is, but always something happens.
Yeah, my dream for the UK is just that everyone, the whole nation, gets that revelation of the freedom that they are entitled to.
It's incredible to come and be a part of a family, to come feast on the abundance of his house. And when we create that space for him to come and dwell, he releases healing and freedom and life and hope. So just to listen for the invitation of the Father and just come and get a taste for what abiding in his presence is all about.
I think at a festival, you come knowing, like, you know the schedule, you know the lineup, you know what's going to happen. And when you come to David's tent, there's like, what might just happen.
I'm ready. Oh, yes. I'm ready. Sign me up. 2016 David's Tent. They just had it for this year. But this is remarkable. Mm-hmm. This is awesome. Imagine if we would begin to rethink the word vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, Steve, if we would get out of a mindset that says, I need to go and take time to be entertained and do all these other things that we've been so accustomed to doing and visiting these places. And what would imagine what we would happen if we'd say, why don't we, instead of going and do these other stuff,
right,
why don't we take the family for 3, 4, 5 days and go in the wilderness, seek the heart of God. May we never lose his wonder. May we enjoy his presence and encounter God in a fresh way. I love what one of the founders there said. He said, this is not about hype. This is not a concert. I am so through with concerts. You know what I mean? I'm like, do we need another concert? We need a sacred assembly. And so much so, I think, in the busy lives that we live, we need time to pull ourselves out and just to be with God.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like you got to disconnect from everything, all the entertainment, like you're saying. If you want to connect with the heart of God, if you want to just seek after his face, it's like you got to untangle or anything that tries to come in or just cloud you. And it's just like that's beautiful to see that. Just people just sitting in his presence and going after him. And it's like, and I love what she said. It's like there's something about that encounter in worship that it changes you.
Absolutely. There's something about worship because think about it. You are expressing. When you're entering into a place of worship, and I'm talking about the expression, the song of worship, you're communicating oftentimes some of the most intimate words you've ever spoken to anybody. You're talking them to God. You're telling them that you love him, that you honor him, that he's majestic, he's holy. And you're expressing your heart. And it begins just to open your spirit up, and you begin to encounter and feel his presence. There is nothing like the presence of God. And once you felt his presence, you're always longing for more. You're always wanting to be in his presence, to feel his joy. And I'll tell you that in his presence, the Bible says there's fullness of joy, that God wants to take us from glory to glory to glory. And I think the biggest trap that we've fallen into, in particular here in the United States, but I'm sure all across the world, because the world is really small, that we've settled to be entertained. Entertain the man. You know, we've been tamed by entertainment. Just one more TV program, just one more fun activity, just one more place to eat. I mean, it's like another restaurant, you know, another, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah, these things are good, but too much of a good thing is not good.
Yeah.
What about those quiet times?
Yeah, when you say the word entertainment, it reminds me that Leonard Ravenhill had said that entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. And when you think about the joy of his presence, getting into the word of God and that dialogue with God. And one of the additional things that she said in that was just like when you get into his body in regards to, you know, the fellowship of the family of believers, and you're conversing back and forth. What's God saying to you? And you're talking about the word, and it's like, that's that meat that Jesus said that you know not of. That's mm-hmm. that's that time of coming together. And it's just like, wow, why would I want to be anywhere else? I just
want to.
And it's just like, God, help me to just be so addicted to your presence, your voice, your word. And it's just like having that longing for the things of one. I love what you're saying, like that glory to glory to glory. Because it's like once you encounter his presence, it's just, it changes you. And it's just like, what was I thinking? Why would I ever pursue or long for anything but him?
Exactly. We got to begin to start asking ourselves, you know, what is it that is driving us to say, you know, I would rather watch 2 hours of programming that does nothing to glorify God when I can spend time with God himself. I can have that moment. And I love what Proverbs says. I believe it's Proverbs 27, but it says, I think, verse 10, he who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. And I believe what that scripture is saying there is that, you know, he who is full. So many times we can have a full plate in our life. There's so many things. You know, when you're stuffed, you don't want to eat just one. It doesn't matter how delicious it is. When you're full, you're full. That's it. Can't have anything more. And just the thought of one more thing going down your mouth, I'm going to throw up. It's like, it's disgusting. That's what loathe means. It's disgusting. He who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. And our plates have been so loaded with so many things that there's no room for God. There's no room to taste and see that he's good because we've stuffed it and piled so many other things. And it's like, man, we got to get back to the place of just being with him. And that's why we want to encourage everyone to abide. It's something that we share repeatedly and often on this program. John 15, he who abides in the vine. And we want to, we have a simple plan. It's free. You can get it at iabide.org. And it basically lays out how you can begin to have an abiding relationship, a relationship with God where you can begin to meet with him on a consistent daily basis, reading his word, prayer that involves, Steve, not just one-way communication. I think oftentimes we encourage and teach new believers to pray, but oftentimes they leave with the idea that prayer is just me giving God a laundry list, never stopping to actually listen for a response.
Right. And yeah, that's when you think about the simplicity of that, just a conversation, it's like anybody can, you know, if you want to call a loved one, if you just call all day long and just talk on the phone, but you never hear someone hearing back, it's just like, was there a conversation?
Yeah.
And it's just like, God wants to have a conversation with you. Jesus says that those who follow me know my voice and they follow none other. And it's like, he wants you to not only discern his voice, to know his voice, but then also to be like, he is talking. And this, I mean, you think about that, the creator of the universe. Yeah. And I remember when I was having a dialogue with that, pretty much the first time in my life, is that somebody expressed this to me. It's just like, God, you know, the Bible says that creation can be held in the expanse of God's hand. Just thinking about that just blows your mind. And it's like that God, through his son, Jesus Christ, he's holding all of this. And then when you talk to him through his son, Jesus Christ, he's like, wait, hold on a second. He actually takes the time to listen to you.
My son, my daughter's talking.
That's amazing. Yeah. And it's like, it really just changes your paradigm that God is never going to tell you, you know, hold on a second, I'm in a meeting, or leave me a voicemail. He's always available for you. That's why he sent his son, Jesus, is because he desires to have that conversation with you.
Absolutely. And I think that unless we repent, we're going to have a lot of time to seek him. We're going to have a lot of time to be able to go after him. And my thing is, why wait for calamity? If we can only find God when we're facing tragedy, if we can only find God and call out to him when things shut down in our lives, in our economy, in our health, in our body, you know, in our community, if that's when we cry out to God, that's, you know, we're living from calamity to calamity.
What happens
instead
when the
of to glory to glory?
Away.
Yeah. Then I no longer talk to God. Listen, there is a place There is a place where you can have communion and fellowship with God. It's his heart. It's his desire. And it's time that we just get away from all the entertainment, all the things that trap us and that are fruitless, and get away to the secret place. Maybe you can't go all the way across the world and go to the UK for David's tent, but maybe you can quiet yourself in your own house, maybe in a closed room, and you can begin to dialogue with God through his word and prayer, and watch God revolutionize your life. More when we get right back from this break.
We may have some reckoning with God to do in the month of September. The Bible says there's four sins that God does not take lightly, and the earth convulses every time we practice these sins. God pays close attention to idolatry. We are unbridled and unashamed and unafraid to put before this nation idols. They wouldn't put a picture of a cross up there, but they'll put a picture of a demon god up there, and we're flaunting it right under God's nose, and we're facing a Shemitah year, and unless we repent, I'm afraid judgment's at the door. The second sin that affects the land is homosexuality, fornication, immorality, and lesbianism. God said, do not defile yourselves in any of these ways. This is the Bible. You can either reject it or you can fear it. I fear it. Desecration usually takes place before judgment comes. The third sin is the shedding of innocent blood, which includes abortion and other things. In 1973, the Supreme Court legalized abortion, and since then, over 57 million children have been aborted. Blood has a language all of its own. And when they take a baby and massacre that baby and flush it down the commode, that blood goes into the rivers, and that blood still has a voice, and God hears it. 57 million babies have been aborted, and the cup of God's wrath is filling up. The fourth sin is the sin of breaking covenant. There's a direct correlation in how God treats people who bless Israel or those who curse Israel. God has blessed America all through these years because all of our presidents have been friends of Israel, and they have stood by our most faithful ally in the Middle East. So our current president, President Obama, has categorically pulled away from Israel and threatened to abandon her as future votes come up to the UN concerning Israel. This is a deliberate and a blatant covenant-breaking piece of legislation that may determine our future as a nation into a future that we don't want to think about. Don't think God can't get to the place that his wrath will not wait any longer. America's soul is hanging in the balance, and it possibly could be that these are the final waning hours of America. It could be that September is going to bring about such swift change and such swift judgment. I'm saying possibly that these could be the final hours. To Iraq, to Iran, President Obama, to whoever will listen, you're not through with Jesus Christ. You're going to see him before too very long. You better make sure you're on the right side when you see him.
Keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to encourage you that no matter what's happening on the face of this world, that God's church is still vibrant and God is in control, and many wonderful things are happening in the kingdom of God. In particular, we want to talk about what is happening in Cuba. You know, a lot of times people think that suffering is a bad thing, and I personally don't like to suffer. It's not one of the things that I sign up for, okay? However, if suffering saves your soul, then all suffering is not bad. And I'm not saying that you have to go through suffering to, you know, come into an encounter with God. But it's amazing how pain causes us to awaken to some realities and to be sober-minded, if you will. and to kind of wake us up from being lethargic or you know, totally seduced into something. Going through a pain, going through a suffering causes us to question our lives. It causes us to examine what are we doing, and it causes us to look to God and for God. I want you to see what happened in Cuba, because oftentimes we think that when our back's against the wall, it's over and it's done, and you know, we're just going to sit here and just wait for it to all crash and be done with. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, that's when God does his greatest miracles. You know, when you can't look to the left, you can't look to the right, you know, you can't go behind you because your back's against the wall. All you can do sometimes is look up. And that's the perfect thing you need to do, is look up and cry out to God, because his ears are not dull and his arms are not too short that he just can't reach out to you. He's been waiting for you to reach out to him. I want you to watch this and be encouraged.
On a typical Sunday morning in Cuba, you'll find church crowds overflowing around the island. Many are house churches meeting in remodeled living rooms. Others look like your typical church with one big difference: political restrictions.
Space is an issue for so many Cuban churches. For this particular church, the government will not sell it more land, and it's growing, so it's been forced to build up.
On the upper levels, you'll find Sunday school rooms plus four spillover areas to watch the Sunday service.
When you have 80 to 100 people in an apartment, it's hard, very hard, and neighbors get upset.
Pastor Miguel leads a house church now meeting in his yard because it no longer fits inside. It's a common theme in Cuban churches, fueled by incredible growth and government restrictions. In the past 20 years, more than 16,000 evangelical churches have opened their doors.
One of the things that has made us grow in faith has been the limitations and the difficulties.
Pastor Nestor and his wife Rosa live in one room above their tiny church. On Sunday mornings and during weeknight services, only a few will have a real seat.
People here don't care how comfortable they are. They could be exhausted from working all day, and they will sit on a bag of rocks, a stitched-up chair, or stand the whole service, and they're okay with that.
Cuban church leaders say events led by the fall of the Soviet Union sparked the current church-planting explosion.
When the Russian government collapsed, Cuba went through a lot, and people started looking to churches for hope.
At the same time, the government ended its atheistic philosophy and declared itself a secular state, leading an entire generation to question what it believed. A government official at the time suggested that churches, unable to obtain building permits, meet in homes. That offhand comment sparked a movement similar to early church growth in the Book of Acts. Pastor Francisco is one of thousands of Cuban house church pastors who followed the gospel with tremendous passion.
We have evangelized everyone who lives in this area, a New Testament Bible to each home. We can't stop, we won't stop, because even if they won't accept the Lord the first, second, third, or fourth time, even so, we can't stop until they come to the Lord.
The growth of the church here is even more miraculous given the country's poverty. Average monthly government salary is $20, and professionals typically make less than $50. Still, Cuban churches are known for their generosity and willingness to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel.
What we have, we want to share with others. What we have, not what we have left over.
Another obstacle Cuban churches face is spiritual warfare in the form of Santeria. It's a blend of West African religions known for its ritual ceremonies.
This is a wooded area in Havana where those practicing Santeria like to come. They will perform ritual cleansings in the river here and offer sacrifices on this rock.
Pastor Nestor faces resistance right in the neighborhood. During one Sunday worship, a Santeria group stood outside the church beating their drums.
Levantamos la iglesia todo en oración.
It was kind of like a spiritual face-off. The church just started praying, and then we prayed for rain, and all of a sudden there was thunder, so they had to leave.
Church leaders say they're enjoying a new season of relaxed restrictions. It's easier to evangelize outside the church, and they receive more permits to hold special events. Still, most churches cannot expand or buy land. They cannot produce Christian radio or television shows. And they must work around a dysfunctional economy. Remodeling plans at Pastor Nestor's church are on hold indefinitely until they can obtain much-needed cement.
Sometimes without suffering, there's no challenge, and without that challenge, there's no victory.
Reporting in Havana, Cuba, Heather Sells, CBN News.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome?
That's exciting.
Listen, without a challenge, there is no victory. 80 to 100 people meeting in an apartment, and now it overflows into the backyard.
Not caring about their comfort, just want to be there.
Now, she says there's not a comfortable seat in the whole place, and sometimes they have to stand. And it's so refreshing when we get to see believers that are coming to fellowship, not because of any other thing, no other program, but to encounter God himself. That's the place we need to get to, where, because really, Jesus really is enough. You know what I mean? He really is. But it's exciting to see that. Yeah. I mean, it's so moving.
Yeah, it's exciting, too. It's just like how people were just, and you just said it, 80 to 100 people in one apartment. And one of the things that they said is just like, people started looking to the church for help.
Yeah.
Of all places to go, that they went where they knew that they would be comforted.
Yeah, and it's going to happen. The more we face suffering, the more things escalate in our country, they're going to be looking for answers. And the question is, are you going to have an answer to give them? Are you going to be able to share with them the gospel? And, you know, it's not important that your pastor, I mean, yes, it is important that your pastor knows, but it's important that you as a believer knows God, his word, his will, his ways, his desires, and that you can touch heaven, that he hears your prayers, because you're not going to be able to throw the person in the back of your car and drive them up to your pastor's house and say, you pray for them, because you're supposed to pray for them. Amen. And that's what we're living in. I love what this one pastor says. He says, we didn't share, we don't, even though they live off of $20 a month, we don't share with people what we have left over. We share with them from what we have.
Wow.
And that's important. Listen, that we need to start having a global mindset when it comes to Christians. We got to see ourselves as global Christians and reach out to the heart of the Father and say, God, we want you in our city, in our community, and in our nation. Listen, we want to pray with you and for you right now. Lord, we just thank you, God. We thank you for the freedoms that we have in this country. We thank you, God, that you're not through with America yet. And Father, we cry out, God, for a third great awakening. We cry out, Lord, for a move of God in our country, Lord. We ask that you forgive us, Lord, of all of our sins. Dear God, end abortion and send revival in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour. plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.